Good morning. It is certainly good to be with everybody here this morning on this this rather warm October morning. It's certainly good for me to be here this morning. For a little while this morning, it was kind of touch and go whether I was going to even make it here. Which sounds really bad, but in my line of work, I take care of horses. We have been preparing for this storm, this upcoming storm, for several days, and that's what you do when you take care of animals. You have to be prepared, especially if you plan to go to church on Sundays. There are certain steps that you have to take days ahead of time so that you arrive in a timely manner. So we prepared for days, getting ready for this storm. Luckily, the storm is a little later than we had first thought. However, about 6 o'clock this morning, a little after six, I received a phone call. There was a guy that I trained horses with down in Fort Worth. He had a horse trailer coming from Las Vegas, and it had broken down about 40 miles from Amarillo. And he was limping on the side of the road trying to get here. So, long story short, we got him on the road. I still had to take care of stuff at the house, and I was late, but I'm here. And I am thankful for that. So I pray that I'm not twitchy. I didn't even have my coffee this morning. So if I go into seizures, I apologize. But here in a moment, we're going to be studying from John 10. If you have a Bible, if you would like to read along. But first, I'd like to thank Kyle for asking me to do this. It's such an honor to be up here to preach God's Word, and it's such a humbling thing to do this. I'd like to thank the elders also for allowing me to do this. John 10. Let me preface this by saying that this is coming after Jesus had healed a blind man. And they had rejected the blind man. And so he was talking to the blind man and some Pharisees. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus uses this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolves coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the sheep, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again amongst Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, "He is a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of the demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Okay. So the lesson that is commonly given with this is talking about the shepherd. However, I want to talk about the sheep. But first off, I want to thank Brian Haynes. A few years ago, Brian Haynes did a lesson that was really similar to this, and I talked to him about it, and I received some of the research from Brian, and I'm really grateful for his knowledge. Sheep are mentioned 500 times in the Bible, more than any other animal. The prominence of sheep grow out of two realities. Sheep were very important to the agricultural life of that time. Wealth was, in a lot of times, considered on how many sheep you have. Secondly, sheep are used throughout the Bible to symbolically refer to God's people. 13 times in the New Testament alone, sheep are used to describe God's people. I'm going to go through these real fast so you don't have to look these up. If you want a list of these, you can give them after me later. But Matthew 7:15, warning of wolves in sheep's clothing. Matthew 9:36, sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 10:6, lost sheep. And 16, sheep among wolves. Matthew 12:12, the lost sheep on the Sabbath. Matthew 25:32, judgment of sheep and goats. Acts 20:28, warning of wolves and flock. Romans 8:36, accounted as sheep going to slaughter. Hebrews 13:20, sheep equipped by the shepherd. 1 Peter 2:25, sheep gone astray. 1 Peter 5:2, elders act as shepherds. And Revelation 7:17, led as sheep to the water of life. When I was a kid growing up on a ranch, often, if somebody called you a sheep herder, that it was a derogatory term. That was not a nice thing to call a young cowboy. For whatever reason, we decide sheep were dumb animals, which is pretty ironic because cattle are really similar to sheep. As a matter of fact, today, if somebody calls you a sheep, it's not a nice term. They're saying you follow along blindly. And doing research for this, I found several t-shirts and several different quotes talking about sheep. One of them was, "Don't be a sheepdog. Don't be a sheep, be a sheepdog." I really messed that up. "It's better to be a lion for a day than a sheep all of your life." Another term I've heard different pundits say is a term called sheeple. I don't know if you've heard this. It's a mixture of sheep and people. In its definition, it's a derogatory term that highlights the passive herd behavior of certain people, or people who are easily influenced. You know, this misconception of sheep, I believe is wrong. And I think we have this misconception because we just don't deal with sheep much, especially in this neck of the woods. We deal with cattle more than anything. But for the most part, we're not an agrarian society as we once were. Therefore, people at this time would not have thought of sheep as being dumb. And as many times as God compares us to sheep, there has to be a good reason. If sheep are nothing but a dumb animal, God would be calling Christians dumb. Now, I don't believe this to be the case. There's a University of Cambridge study done about 12 years ago. Scientists at the University of Cambridge discovered that sheep have the brain power to equal monkeys and, in some tests, humans. They discovered the sheep intelligence while researching Huntington's disease. As a matter of fact, sheep can recognize familiar human faces. As a matter of fact, one of the many hidden talents of sheep was revealed by this study in the magazine called Nature, which I don't think has been around for a while, suggests that sheep may be nearly as good at as people as distinguishing faces in a crowd, and a lot of times better at distinguishing noises. But probably the most amazing story I found about sheep while researching this, and Brian Haynes is the one who noted this, was the story about the sheep who figured out how to cross a cattle guard. I don't know if y'all know what a cattle guard is, but a cattle guard is a gap in a fence where you can drive a vehicle over. And this gap is a big pit that's dug, and across it there are bars spaced evenly so that a cattle, horse, and animal, when they're stepping on it, will slip through. So it deters them from ever crossing it. Well, hungry sheep in Great Britain taught themselves to roll 8 foot across the cattle guard. To roll. According to witnesses, they would lay down on the cattle guard and roll continuously until they had cleared it. Which I find fascinating. I think why sometimes sheep get a bad rap and why they're sometimes called dumb is they can't survive without a shepherd. They need constant guidance or they'll be killed. As a matter of fact, when I think of it, and I was doing this, sheep are a perfect reference when it concerns people. People can be smart, but people can be dumb. I want to talk to you about the idea of being a good sheep today. Or to be exact, I want to talk about the qualities of a good sheep as listed in John 10. John 10 and 4. A good sheep knows the shepherd's voice. Did you know that many sheep herders had a different name for each sheep? The sheep herder, whether it was 10 sheep, 100 sheep, the sheep herder could call out a certain name and a sheep would leave the flock and come to him. They also had a separate call that they could use to gather all the sheep. So a lot of the times, sheep herders would gather their sheep together with neighbors. And they could let out a call and their sheep would join them. And this begs the question, since we're considered the sheep and Jesus is considered the shepherd, how do we know Jesus' voice? In 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's turn to Acts 17:10 through 11. Then their brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily. So in other words, we can't know Jesus' voice unless we listen to Jesus' voice. The sheep spent all day, every day with the shepherd, or I'd say the shepherd spent all day, every day with the sheep. And that's how they would know their voice. If we do not spend time with Scripture daily, we may not fully understand Jesus' voice. Repetition is the key to knowing God's Word. Once the sheep knew the sheep herder's voice, they obeyed him. If a sheep was straying, all he had to do is call it by its name. So once we know Jesus' voice, once we've heard it and we know that it is Jesus' voice, what should we do once we know his voice? 1 John 2:1 through 5. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, 1 John 5, 2-3. By this we know that we love the children, of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So, once we know Jesus' voice, we have to obey his commandments. The second thing that good sheep have to do is found in John 10 and 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So a good sheep enters through the door. And the door being Jesus Christ. Each shepherd at this time had a sheepfold. Now, as I understand it, a sheepfold were constructed differently depending on which region you were in. But a sheepfold is a rock wall of loosely stacked stones that provided protection for the sheep and the shepherd. Each sheepfold had a door which allowed the sheep to go in and out. The shepherd would inspect each sheep in the evenings when they would go in, and he would inspect in the morning when the sheep would go out to get a count. Many good sheep herders would sleep by the door for protection. We too must enter the door. Matthew 7:13 through 14. If you would turn there, please. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The narrow gate is Jesus Christ. The door to the sheepfold is Jesus, and we cannot enter the sheepfold without following Jesus' teaching. If you would turn to John 14 and 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus being the door. So we cannot go through the Father except through Jesus the door. So that brings up a question. How do we enter in through Christ? I know how the sheep enter in through the door. The shepherd calls them. But how do we enter in through Christ? Romans 6, 2 through 4. I'll go ahead and read 1, 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do we not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were baptized, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. So we enter in through Christ by being baptized into Christ's death. In Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The next thing that good sheep do will be found in John 10 and 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So good sheep run away from strangers. Sheep are a very wary animal. I don't know if you've ever seen cattle trails leading to water. Cattle trails tend to travel straight. If you look at cattle trails from an aerial map, they will lead straight to water. If you get up to them, they're kind of crooked, but or in general, they're straight. Sheep don't travel in such a way. Sheep travel in a very crooked path. And the reason for this is because sheep are looking behind them constantly. Therefore, they don't travel straight. The only way you travel straight is looking ahead. So sheep travel back, looking backwards to look around their wool so that they can see strangers. The strangers that Jesus is talking about here are false teachers. Obviously, we are not to follow false teachers. Matthew 7 and 15. Okay, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So, it would be way easier if a false prophet was in wolf's clothing. We could see them coming from a long ways away, but they're not. False prophets are amidst us. False prophets are people who we do not expect. In Revelation 2:2. Here is talking to the church of Ephesus. I know your work, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. So here the church of Ephesus was testing. They tested false teachers. They had tested false prophets and found them as liars. So they were being wary. Revelation 2 and 20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. So they were allowing Jezebel to worship with them, and she was turning some of them. So they were not being wary of false idols. They were being a bad sheep. Galatians 1, 6 through 8. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. So there is another example of teaching to flee from false prophets. But also Jesus expects us to flee from sin. In Genesis 39, Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife. In fact, he fled so fast he left his garment. In 1 Timothy 6 and 11, if you would turn there. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Do y'all remember Wile E. Coyote? As a kid, he was one of my favorite cartoons. They never talked in it, yeah. But one of the things Wile E. did, every day Wile E. would clock in to the office and try to steal one of the sheep from Ralph the sheepdog. Wile E. would come up with some really inventive ways to try to steal the sheep. The devil is Wile E. The coyote, unless we flee from all ungodliness, he will snatch us up, because he has some really inventive ways to try to catch the sheep. In today's modern world, we have to flee from sin daily. Now, we may not actually run from sin. We may not leave our garment in the hands of Potiphar's wife. It may be just a simply turning off the TV when something bad comes on. Or it could be looking away when temptation arises. Or it could be saying a prayer in traffic when you're about to lose your temper. There are many things that we can do to flee today, and that's what we need to do to be good sheep. One of the last points of good sheep is found in John 10 and 16. Okay. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Good sheep are a part of one flock. sheep's defense mechanism is when they see danger, they flee to one another. Matter of fact, that does get them in trouble sometimes, but that's neither here nor there. But if you see a sheep that gets scared, the first thing they do is run amidst the flock, and pretty soon the whole flock is stirred up. But they go to each other. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 15 through 27. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Not much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. As Christian, as sheep, we are to flee to one another whenever we run across danger. Galatians 6, 1 through 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So unless we flee to each other, we're not fulfilling the law of Christ. Our strength is in numbers, just like sheep. Now, we don't have as much numbers as the world. But what we do have is brethren who love each other and who care for each other. We should know each other well enough that we know when somebody is struggling. If we don't, maybe we should. We have to be there to save other brethren from the wolves. One other thing is we have to be together. That means more than one time a week. We have to be together. We have to know each other. How are you to help another member of the flock when you rarely see that person? One of the last things I'm going to talk about is bad sheep. And nobody wants to talk about bad sheep. But there are. According to John 10, one of the things that bad sheep do is bad sheep wonder. Sheep, if they wander off, they will die. Either by a wild animal, or oddly enough, the overgrowth of wool will kill them. Which means they have to have a shepherd. I want to talk about Chris the sheep. I don't know if y'all have heard of Chris the sheep. This happened about 10 years ago. There's an overgrown Australian sheep that breaks all records. Chris the sheep escaped the flock and lives on his own for several years. His wool became so overgrown that he was fixing to die. He could not see anymore, and his legs were giving out because of all the weight. The shears trimmed 92 pounds of wool off the sheep, which was over double what the sheep weighed. Sheep have to be sheared to survive. They cannot survive on their own. We have to be sheared to survive. We can't survive on our own. However, our shearing comes from God's word. The wool is our life, and we have to shape it according to God's word. If we don't constantly shape our life with God's word, our life, just like the wool, will go out of control, and it will blind us. That was one of the main things that happened to Chris the sheep. The wool had overgrown his eyes, and he was blinded by his own wool. As will happen to us if we don't shape our life with God's word, our wool will grow around our eyes to where we can no longer see. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it says all scripture is given to us to shape our life. The other thing bad sheep do is bad sheep blindly follow others. Tongue twister. In Turkey, there was a bunch of sheep that died in a mass jump. Turkish shepherds watched in horror as hundreds of sheep followed each other over a cliff. More than 400 sheep died in the 60-foot fall. Their bodies cushioned the over 1,100 sheep that followed. I can only imagine the pile of sheep that filled in that 60-foot gap. More than likely, it was filled to the top. The people watched in horror as their sheep blindly followed another sheep into this ravine. Second Peter 2:1-2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. So what happened with these sheep is they had followed a lead sheep who had gone rogue. The lead sheep decided he was going to leave, thought he could jump a ravine, turned out he couldn't, led all the sheep down it. What this is teaching us is just because another Christian is teaching or doing something doesn't mean that they are right. We must be very diligent in our studies so that we don't fall prey to false teachers who will lead us off the cliff. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, It says, test all things. Hold fast what is good. We are to test all teaching. That especially includes mine. We're to test everything by God's word. So that we're not to take it for granted that the person knows what they're talking about, even if it's somebody who we look up to. Now, I've talked about good sheep, I've talked about bad sheep, and there's more I can talk about. I'm running short on time. I'm sorry about that. But this time, are you a sheep or are you a goat? Matthew 25, 31 through 34. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. If you're not a sheep, you need to become one. If you're still a goat, you need to be baptized to become part of the sheep. Acts 22 and 16. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. But if you're a sheep, and you find that you are tangled up in the world, if the wolves of this world are leading you astray, just let us know. We will pray for you. That's what we're commanded to do. We're commanded to pray for each other, and we're commanded to bear each other's burdens. If you need to be baptized, or if you need to come forward, now is the time to do it. If you're subject to the invitation, please come forward now while we are led in the song of invitation.